There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 950, August 1st, 2022, Nasser.
Thank you, sir. I say a beautiful Hungarian rhapsody by the Red Bull Orchestra. Spinning and winning, the Max Factor puts on more lipstick on the prancing pigs. Back to Prince of Podcasting, the one and only host with the most, Mr. Rogers.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, Fernando says no to escargot. And yes, to Stroll billions. Ferrari set to hire Alfred E. Newman as new strategist. Mercedes giggling as they know what they're doing. And just a reminder, we need your contributions to keep this program alive on the clouds of America. Just click on the Support F1 Weekly tab. You know, you want to. Nas, welcome to the studio. How are you?
I'm doing very good, sir. And thank you for asking. But what can I say, Mr. Rogers? Red Bull is doing what Ferrari used to do in the halcyon days of Michael Schumacher and Ross Brown. If the driver is not in a position to win, the team will put him in a situation where he can at least smell victory. And then the driver will do the damage, which we saw many, many times. What we have now for the Red Brigade is, if the driver does not make a mistake while leading, then the team will screw up on the strategy, and when the checkered flag falls, they are surprised to see Max Verstappen winning the race. I get the impression they have outsourced the team strategy to Haas F1 or HRT, people who just don't know how to put on a winning show. And a lot of people are now calling for heads to roll during the summer break. From being over 40 points after three races, Leclerc is now twice as many points in the deficit. He has three wins compared to eight for Max after 12 races. So we already know before at the halfway season which way the championship is going. Even the Silver Arrows are now flying lethal drones towards Maranello, as they say in the army business, incoming. And it will not surprise me if in the second half, Mercedes has more wins than Ferrari. All of this is very easy to say, but things are not looking good for bells to be ringing in Maranello quite frequently in the second half of the season. Your thoughts on Sunday slaughter, sir?
It was messy. It was ugly. I just wish they'd just order Chinese takeout and just be done with this marinara because, oh my God. I mean, even after critical reviews from the pundits, scathing, they continue to enjoy this mockery of the Italianos at Scuderia. Mamma mia, she would have not to be a proud. You know, what do you want me to do, Nasser? It's mind-boggling. You're watching the race. You're rooting for the guy because you feel so sorry for him. And it's what's amazing, it's done right before your eyes. And I think maybe we should have like a button. Have a special button at Ferrari that just puts an electric shock on the team principal, Boutte. I don't know. I'm running out of options, Nasser. It's brutal. Luckily, we have this great news from Oviedo.
You know, here we are sitting across the ocean. Magyar Republic, Hungary is in Central Europe or Eastern Europe or far away. And before Sunday even dawned, I knew Max was going to be on the podium. It was just an issue of what place. So all they have to do, they have two cars, second and third, find a way, I don't want to use the word strategy, they may not know what that means, but find a way that one of your cars wins the race. And how hard can that be? But no, they are doing what was done to Nando in Abu Dhabi in 2010. And that's why he's like a gato on a hot tin roof, still looking for number three championship. This is really, really pathetic and sad. Now, if this was happening in a car, remember when Nico Hülkenberg got a pole position, his only pole in Brazil many years ago? Everybody knew he did not have the car to win that race. And he was gobbled up on the opening lap. But here they have a very fast car, two awesome drivers, both young, hungry, whippersnappers, as you call them. And they are still finding ways for Max to win races. I mean, the guy is coming through without any invitation. And you're just going to feed him like a VIP pass to win a race. He's not going to say no. This is really, really bad.
But it's true. I mean, they have a big banner. Welcome to Hungary, Max. Oh, P10, don't worry. We'll help you win. I don't know. Maybe they're descendants of the Orange family.
I don't know, man. This is, look at Red Bull. They make bold strategies and bold decisions. Most of the time it works out. Ross Brawn, Michael Schumacher used to pull the stunt out all the time. Remember when he was given a penalty at the British Grand Prix and he took that on the last lap? I could not believe what I was watching. How clever that was. And these people, man, they're coming up with... Now, Binotto is saying they did not have the car to win. I mean, maybe he had breakfast with Fisico, and Fisico asked, where is the winning car? Oh, boy, this is pathetic. Pasta pathetic, I would say.
I'm really glad that Niki Lauda is not here to see this.
Oh, yes, wonder what he would be saying.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, absolutely mind-boggling. Shall we do our quickie on Colli?
Yes, senor.
That was very, very impressive, man. Kama Kama Chameleon by Boy George in Budapest. Absolutely beautiful. His teammate, shall we call his teammate the new number two at Mercedes? Will that make you happy?
No, I just call him two-legged.
Two-legged. So his teammate leading a Mercedes 1-2 in Q1, to me, it looked like a Hungarian goulash flash in the pan. But new kid on the block rocked the Casper and Scuderia by grabbing his first pole in Formula One. Oh, very, very impressive. The other surprise in Q2 was Checo out, but Machismo made it to Q3. And I was thinking of you, Mr. Rogers. Championship leader and only hombre to challenge the red cars ran out of steam in his Red Bull in Q3. LCH could not get into the top three rows. Row 3 was all Alpine, Ocon and Nando. Row 2 was Leclerc and Norris. Carlos Sainz Jr. looked all set for pole position, then fell victim to the 21st century's second Hungarian uprising. You do remember the first Hungarian uprising of this century, right?
Indeed I do. One of my favorite uprisings.
Absolutely, absolutely. But sir, tell me if you agree with me or not. It was just my personal observation, and I'm not sure how many listeners will agree with me. I got the impression George Russell's pole position did not excite Toto Wolff as much as if his top dog had taken the top spot. Did you feel that way when the camera went on him after Colli?
Yes, well, the camera is now always on Toto because everybody is taking body language 101. But it is funny. I mean, even at that lower level of body language understanding, boy, Toto is an easy target. Pretty funny stuff. Gotta love it. I love it. Man, there's going to be a lot of great... I can't wait for the big decoupage of Toto and his expressions.
Okay, now, race. Russell on soft, red cars on medium. Virtual safety car on lap 2 because of Partey on the track after argy-bargy between Albon and Sebastian. And what was really, really interesting at this time, Nando was already complaining on the team radio about his teammate, saying, "Never in my life I saw defense like that." What do you have to say on that, Mr. Rogers?
Machismo is always right. Trust me. Check his bank account. Even the zeros. Inside the zero, it says, "El macho es correcto."
That is very true. But now we know why. Well, the race got going. I think it was on lap 3, the green came on. And lap 12, Max on soft in top 5, right behind LCH on medium, which was no surprise to me at all. Lap 15, George maintaining lead just outside DRS zone on Sainz in second and Leclerc in third. Lap 17, George and Max in for new tires. Sainz in on lap 18. Now lap 17, when Max came in, I just knew that Red Bull is up to some trick, okay? And then lap 20, Lewis comes in. Order at this time was Leclerc, Russell, Sainz, Ocon, Max. So two Ferraris in the top 3, they should be winning the race. Lap 21, Leclerc in. Boy George back on top. Leclerc gets the jump on Carlito, which I think was very important for him. Lap 31, Leclerc takes the lead after some strong but fair defense from Russell. Did you enjoy that, sir?
I did, and Leclerc is in machismo, and Russell is very, very clean. It was wonderful. Nice not to see people ruining somebody else's race. A lot of clean fighting this year. We are hip on that, and of course, we don't want any fighting in the stands anymore either. Everything has to be PC and clean.
Yes, sir, and Mercedes led more laps in this race than rest of the season combined. They may not be back in command yet, but they are coming back looking for second half for a fistful of wins. Or even one for LCH will be pretty good, and one for George would be incredible. And I'm really looking forward to a couple of drivers getting their maiden wins this year. At this time, LCH was running 5th, just behind BFF Max, but matching the pace of race leader. So things are looking up and up for them. But Mr. Rogers, I have a feeling, you know, they call Hungaro Ring Mickey Mouse because it's not fast like Spa or Suzuka. I think, and I hope I'm wrong, but I think when they go to other real purpose-built tracks, fast speed, then the difference between Mercedes and Red Bull and Ferrari will appear again. But we'll see how it works out. Lap 39, Max in. Lap 40, Leclerc and George in. Top 3 now, Sainz, Hamilton, Leclerc. Max 5th and Russell 6th. Lap 41, Max on medium passes Leclerc on hard tires. And this hard tires is why everybody is coming so hard on Scuderia Ferrari. Then Max spins, which was a huge, huge surprise. Martin Brundle called it lazy loop, which allowed Leclerc through. The Hungarian goulash was getting spicy, or so I thought. But Max passed Leclerc again on lap 56 to get into top 3. And top 2, Carlito and LCH still had to stop. So now it was looking Max's race. Grazie, Scuderia. Lap 48, LCH in the lead as Carlito in for fresh serving of pasta and Pirelli. Lap 51 of 70, LCH in, comes out in 5th on soft tires. On top, surprise, surprise, Max Verstappen. So Mr. Rogers, with 51 laps gone of 70, Max on top, did you think anybody was going to topple him?
Nope. I even started handing out black licorice to the neighbors.
Yeah, I just knew the dishes were done for the red cars. Lap 54, Russell passes Leclerc to take 2nd. Lap 55, Leclerc in for soft tires. Lap 63, LCH in top 3 by passing Carlito. Lap 65, Toto smiling as LCH is sailing past Russell two Mercedes in top three. There is a Red Bull ahead, but no red cars. Sad, but very true. Now with two laps to go, Bottas parked his Alfa with no power and the virtual safety car came. And man, I gotta be honest with you, I really miss Mike Massey for the first time since Abu Dhabi 2021. But raindrops keep falling on their helmets on the final lap as the Dutch master paints another starry, starry night in his wonderful career. Max takes win number 8 of the season and number 28 of his career. In the post-race interview with DC, he said he was expecting a podium before the race. He is now all set, I think, to break Michael Schumacher and Sebastian Vettel's record of 13 wins in a season, which they both have each. The question for the competition is, now this is for the red competition, if you can't beat a driver who starts 10th, spins, how will you beat him when he starts from front row and Signor Barilla is not cooking his race strategy? What say you, Mr. Rogers?
Well, Mr. Barilla has made some fantastic pasta in the past and continues to do so today. It's the sauce you need to be aware of, whether it's spiked or not, with funny monkey business stuff. So knock it off, Ferrari. This is taking the fun away from the spectators who want to see Leclerc dominating all across the F1 nation. But no, it's all exciting. But, you know, I'm consumed right now, Nasser. You know, this Fernando news has put us Fernando lovers into another cloud that we cannot handle. But yes, the race was exciting. We're on vacation. And I'm telling you, Verstappen is probably going to have some pasta. So I'm laughing. Well, and it's good for Mercedes because they get on the podium and that helps their motivation and it helps ALCH maybe get to grips with fashion. Turn to the left, fashion. Turn to the right. And so on and so forth. So it all makes good sense to me, Nas.
Yeah, and you know, Honda must be loving sushi culture. Despite leaving Formula One officially, they are still powering the championship leader. I very much hope they come back when we will have Audi and Porsche also. It will be great for global motorsports rumble in the F1 jungle. And of course, now we come to everybody's favorite driver, Lewis Carl Hamilton. He was second. You know, he has now led more laps of any driver at one track because he has a great record of winning races at Hungaroring. He has 8 wins on this track, so second was not a bad day. Plus, he got extra point for the fastest lap. And this was his 5th successive podium this season. So they are consistent, they are fast, but they are just not what they used to be. Imola is the only race where Lewis did not score any points. I say, if only Mercedes can give him a little more oomph, the typical German oomph, he and George will be winning races. Mercedes still has some work to do, but there is no question they have not one but 2 drivers fully capable of taking the fight to Max and Ferrari with the right package. Sir, question for you. Sooner or later, Mercedes will win a race this year, hopefully. Whether it's this year or next year, who will win a race first for Mercedes? George Russell or Lewis Hamilton?
It really doesn't matter. Toto will probably insist that it's Lewis because he's got this, I have to watch out what I say in the modern world. But he's got a deal, you know, Lewis is his baby, his thing, and it's going to be Lewis over George because George is young and resilient and he can take it. But anyway, it's no big deal. Once we get to fast tracks, they'll be behind again. Fernando will be passing Lewis in the Alpine to secure a win this season because Fernando wants to leave on high.
Okay, George Russell was 3rd. Who would have thought 2 silver arrows on the podium but no prancing horse? George made a big statement in Bahrain a few years ago when he passed his Mercedes teammate for that race, Mr. Valtteri Bottas, to take the lead with authority. Once again on Sunday, from pole position, he demonstrated he is the real deal. He sure knows how to defend his position also. I can see him do a JB, win a race before Lewis, this season or maybe next season. Time will tell. Moving down the order, Sainz Jr. was fourth, Perez was fifth. Perez was 15 seconds behind his teammate, who just happened to be the race winner also. Charles Leclerc, one-time race leader and one-time championship leader, was sixth. He said, and I quote, "We need to speak with the team and understand the thought behind putting the hard, because I thought very strong on the medium. Everything was under control," end quote. Lando Norris, seventh, only McLaren in the points. Machismo was eighth, picked up a few points, but sorry to say, he was a lap down. His teammate Ocon, ninth, and Sebastian Vettel got 1 point for finishing for a team that he will be leaving at the end of the season. And sir, again, a lot of people there. Apparently, the weekend attendance was reported at 290,000 hungry for F1 Hungarians. But I'm sure there was a big contingent of Dutch fans and Finnish fans, so it's all good. Any thoughts on the Grand Prix, sir, on the track or anything?
You know, I remember a long time ago that when we went to Hungary, we talked about the red light district and prostitution. I guess everything is so sanitized that none of that really existed, right, Nasser?
Well, my understanding is prostitution is legal in Hungary. And interesting you bring this up. I was listening to Bob Varsha on another podcast. And he said when he went there first time in the late 80s, you know, the race started in 1986, there were signs for the pits, for media, Concourse 1 or Grandstand 1. And then there was also a sign for erotic camping. So there you go. So there's more to Hungarian goulash than beef and stew.
Keep up the good work, Nasser. We do like that. And it is interesting. We're going into the summer break. We're going into the funny season because usually after the summer break, drivers get let go. I remember 20 years ago, Nasser, Alan McNish was shown the door at Toyota. So was Mika Salo. But they all took it with a grain of salt. Those were the exciting days. My goodness, Pablo Montoya, the Machismos, Half Schumacher. I miss it all, Nas. I'm suffering. Hans-Harald Frentzen. My God.
And Damon Hill. Remember in the Yamaha-powered Arrows?
One of my favorites. Very good-looking car, actually. Outstanding.
Okay, sir. Mr. Rogers, of your interest, Machismo to Aston Martin. Your thoughts on this story before I give my own mantra.
Your mantra, I know, and I already feel your inner being coming out and being philosophical, gentle, yet firm and honest. But I think it's absolutely hilarious. We're talking a multi-year deal with a 41-year-old middle-aged man who's actually still good in the car, I admit, but you know this is definitely adding to his little kitty. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, this is unbelievable. But on the other hand, some people think this is a match made in heaven. You know, we've heard this song before, Nasser. Fernando's going to go motivate, punctuate, accentuate, and last troll will just keep throwing money at him. Keep going, Fernando. Run like a deer in the wind. Go, Fernando. And of course, they're spending billions. They're going to have a wind tunnel, state-of-the-art facilities, and let's not, you know, listen, I like Renault. I like the new Alpine A110. If they offer you an Aston Martin or an A110, what would you take? This is simple math. Congratulations, Fernando. I'm very proud of him. He's going to be around for a long, long time. And this is really good as we go into my retirement.
Yes, sir. What goes around comes around. Sebastian Vettel replaced Alonso at Ferrari. Now Machismo is returning the favor. A lot of names were mentioned for this seat, including Seb's family friend, Mick Schumacher. I did not think for 1 second Mick will go there, as they already have one My Boy Lollipop, and they sure don't need a second, as they need a serious Ombre to develop the car. The signing of Alonso is not a surprise, but was announced so quickly after the announcement of Seb's retirement that was not expected. This only shows Mr. Lawrence Stroll means serious business, but what else can he do when he is surrounded night and day by billions and billions of dollars? Nando said, and let me quote him, "This Aston Martin team is clearly applying the energy and commitment to win, and it is therefore one of the most exciting teams in Formula One today. I still have the hunger and ambition to fight to be at the front, and I want to be part of an organization that is committed to learn, develop, succeed." End quote. Couple of things. I note with interest the word learn. And the other thing I want to say is, it's pretty obvious his Spanish lawyers have a very good grasp of English language. But moving forward, Ombre started in F1 with Minardi, drove for Renault not once or twice, but three times. Yes, the last time as Alpine. Came close, but no cigar for winning the third championship for McLaren and Ferrari. Lawrence Stroll has the money to give Nando some Monte Cristo cigars so he can win a championship at Aston Martin. Smoke will get in his eyes, but only time will tell if he will get the long-awaited and much-deserved third prize. The palatial studios, especially the host and the owner of F1 Weekly, would like to wish the new Jolly Green Giant all the best. And Mr. Rogers, you know, it really comes down to, I don't know if they have Amazon Prime in Oviedo, but I'm sure they have UPS and DHL and FedEx. You know, the truck won't stop unless there is a package for you. And you know what we say here, no package, no delivery. And I think that's where the problem is. But of course, this is very big news in the world of motor racing. So let me just read a couple of, in this day and age, no matter where you are, you can say something and your voice will be heard around the world. So just want to say a couple of digit, I'm not making these up. This is on the, what I call the digital slings and arrows on the Autosport website. One guy wrote, "Who knew L plan was to eventually drive for every team on the grid?" And there is some humor here. Next stop, Williams to replace Gotifi. Very nice. And the second one is, "The circle is complete from back marker to back marker." Now, speaking very realistically, do you think Aston Martin can develop a winning car in the next 12 to 18 months? Seriously.
It would take a miracle. If they got Rory Byrne, if they stole some of the great engineers of our time and put together the dream team. But just getting Fernando is not going to be enough. So, and McLaren, you know, they're trying to get up to the front. And they've been doing this for a long time. And they're struggling. And they have money and sponsors. So it's very hard to get to the front. You might as well pocket $40 million while you're driving for a back marker. That way your paellas are always top quality. I don't blame the guy. At least we'll have some laughs for the next 3 years. But no.
But the real question I have is, how do you think he will fit in as number two to the extremely talented Lance Stroll?
No problem. As long as his paycheck is bigger, he'll feel just fine.
I think that Alonso is going to be really, really exposing Lance. That's just my take on this thing. Because, you know, when he was racing with Stoffel Vandoorne, Nando himself made a comment that despite his age, because I think he went all season out qualifying Stoffel Vandoorne, and Stoffel Vandoorne is like Lewis, he won in anything and everything he raced in before arriving in Formula One. So, you know, we joke about Nando, but, you know, we have tremendous respect for him. He is one of the GOATs with a capital G, that's for sure. So I think, but I just don't like to see legends of the sport fighting for 9th and 10th. I mean, what good did it do for Michael Schumacher when he came back? And I really go back to 75 when Graham Hill was running his own team and just running back of the grid. You don't want to see heroes of the sport suffering. So that's our motorsports mantra for the day.
Well, I do want to add that he will be pumped up and the billions are there. The Mercedes engine is there and the relationship between Toto and Aston Martin is there. So all of a sudden, Toto, Fernando, could be caught in the back hugging and kissing. And all of a sudden, Toto will acknowledge, okay, this month we'll give you a good, proper Mercedes motor. And all of a sudden, Fernando's back in the saddle again. It could be very, very interesting. I'm just saying there will be motivation because Vettel got lazy at Ferrari, and he certainly got lazy at Aston Martin, making some bizarre mistakes like just last week. So, yes, the one thing that people notice, Fernando never makes mistakes, Nasser.
Never?
Never.
No, you know, I'll tell you, the biggest mistake of his career is signing a contract with McLaren without Briatore's, going behind Briatore. The reason I say is this. The number one job of a good manager, you know, like Anthony Davidson once said to me when we interviewed him at Le Mans, he said a good job manager is one who brings you money, not takes money from you, okay? So the number one job of a talented driver is to look after the interests of his client. And that's why Willie Weber made sure that as long as Michael was at Ferrari, his teammates would be like two-legged Rubinho or a two-legged Irish thoroughbred Eddie Irvine, who will pose no threat. Hence, we never saw Mika Hakkinen, who Luca wanted to bring into the team, drive for that team. And when Kimi came, everybody knows this, Michael was given the option to stay. The only option taken out was no more say on your teammate. I will make the call. And that's what Luca Di Montezemolo wanted. So had Alonso gone with Briatore, I am sure, I cannot even believe that Briatore would not ask to put in paper on paper that Machismo is numero uno. But I do also understand maybe this was the reason. They have never gotten along well, Ron Dennis and Flavio Briatore, just like Ron and Max Mosley. So we really don't know what the real deal is, but I think that was his biggest mistake. But he really has nothing to prove after the 2005 season when he dethroned Michael Schumacher. And I feel the moment Max Verstappen won his first race on his debut with Red Bull, that sealed. This is FDA-approved prime cart. So I would love to see him win a race. I know you'll be happy. Maybe we'll have a five-hour podcast that day. But let's see what happens. I think it's time for a little break now, Mr. Rogers.
On that note, Nasser, the appropriate dish, of course, is gazpacho. So let me talk to the chef, and I'm sure you want yours spicy. So we'll be back after this spicy message.
Hi, I'm Juan Pablo Montoya, and you're listening to F1 Weekly.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the king, the Swahili man himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir. And today let's talk about some other events and then we will have some more Formula One informazione. Indy cars from the road course version at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Winner Alexander Rossi. I think Alexander Rossi was one of the very first drivers we interviewed when he was a Ute. So I'm happy for him. Formula 2, which was also at the Hungaroring. Very international podium after the sprint race on Saturday. Winner from Australia, Jack Doohan. Second from Estonia, Yuri Vips. And third from Brazil, but based in the US, I believe North Carolina, Enzo Fittipaldi. Sunday's feature race, which is a longer race. Again, a very international podium. Enzo Fittipaldi again on the podium, this time in second ahead of Japanese driver Ayumu Iwasa. Winner was your fellow Francais, Theo Pourchaire. He is the Sauber Driver Academy driver. Theo is in the Sauber Driver Academy and a very, very good talent. He is in his second year in the championship. Formula 3, very exciting race in the rain on Saturday. In the early stages, tremendous dicing between Argentina's Franco Colapinto and Brazilian Caio Collet, who is managed by Nicola Tord. The Brazilian won in the end, with Colapinto second and Indian driver Kush Mani third. Man from Dallas, Texas, Jack Crawford was set for fourth but was taken out on the final lap by a love tap from Arthur Leclerc, who is brother of Charles Leclerc. And Sunday's race was won by Alexander Smoliar. He is from Soviet Union, Russia. Don't know which license he was using to race under. And I'm sure you heard that Daniel Kvyat took part in a NASCAR race over the weekend. That was interesting. Okay, sir, Machismo signing is happening because Seb sailing into the sunset. This is always a bittersweet moment when somebody you have watched what they do best from a young age to one of the greats of Grand Prix racing and four-time world champion announces his retirement. As a lifelong Formula One fan, I have not only enjoyed great champions like Seb, but also extremely grateful for names like Ronnie Peterson, Carlos Reutemann, François Sever, Peter Revson, Patrick Depailler, and Riccardo Patrese, and many others. None of these drivers won a championship, but I enjoyed their time and whatever they were doing in Formula One immensely. One of the great memories I have, Mr. Rogers, is of Riccardo Patrese leading the, back in the 70s, I think it was, leading the South African Grand Prix in an Arrows. He would have won that race, but the car broke down. I first became aware of Sebastian Vettel when he was in Formula BMW German Series and took the title, winning 18 of 20 races. Just like Lewis, he was picked up by a major team, in his case Red Bull, while he was still in racing in go-karts. There is a very nice video on YouTube of him and Lewis going back and forth in a Formula 3 race at, I think it's Lausitzring, one of the ovals in Germany. And I will highly recommend if somebody wants to see these people when they were young. And through the typical Red Bull style, he was fast-tracked into Formula 1 and made a strong debut in the United States Grand Prix at Indianapolis in 2007, where he had the immense pleasure of running into Clark Rogers. Correct, sir?
That's true, sir. I was one of the first to interview the young F1 driver of the day. It was exciting, but that's typical F1 Weekly cutting edge.
There you go. And this happened after the horrendous crash suffered by BMW Sauber driver Robert Kubica in O Canada. Seb scored on his Grand Prix debut, and if anybody had seen him in those days, he really, really looked like a high school student. My everlasting memories of this guy will not be of any of the races he won with Red Bull or any of the four championships on the trot he won. I will always remember him for his masterful drive at Monza in a Minardi, today known as Toro Rosso. To take pole position in that car and dominate the event from start to finish in the rain, man, he made a very strong statement that this guy was going far in motor racing. I will equally well remember him driving the same car again in the rain in the season finale of 2008 and passing Lewis Hamilton in a McLaren and pulling away. The image of his flashing red light in the rain of that Toro Rosso pulling away from LCH is something I cannot get out of my mind. It's commonly understood and generally acknowledged by most in motor racing that success did not go to his head. Mark Webber may disagree with this, but I will be very surprised if Mark has anything negative to say about Seb as a person. No question, he was the blue-eyed boy at Red Bull, but we have seen young boys with very deep ocean blue eyes driving a car for a team owned by Papa, but you still need a lot of talent to win races and championships. Seb's numbers speak for themselves. Only three other drivers have won four championships in a row. Others, of course, being Fangio, Schumacher, and Hamilton. Seb has more Grand Prix wins than Alain Prost and Ayrton Senna. The number is 53. Very, very impressive. But all good things must come to an end, and nothing is forever. So we would like to wish him all the best. He may do whatever he wants, but hopefully we will see him at some races, and maybe now that he's not driving, he will give 10-15 minutes to F1 Weekly, which we will certainly appreciate very much. Your thought on his career and Seb as a person and driver, sir?
Well, like you said, I was able to speak with him at the United States Grand Prix. We've followed his career since the BMW days, which we followed very closely. He's part of F1 Weekly. His whole career is in F1 Weekly. So certainly when somebody is already retiring while F1 Weekly marches on, is a big day. And those memorable events, and of course let's not forget who provided the motor for those world championships, and that would be Renault. That's right, Christian Horner, Renault. So just relax, enjoy, and have a good time.
Okay, sir, now we come to another news that's brewing big time here in the U.S. Chip Ganassi and Alex Palou go down in the boondocks and the legal docks. The relationship between the team owner and the driver is getting down and dirty and personal. Chip Ganassi team has filed a lawsuit against the Spanish driver. He does not want to see this young man go to Zak Brown's McLaren team. There is bad blood between Chip and Zak, I am told. And now the Palou's lawyers, who are based in Monte Carlo, they want to take this to a federal court. So let's see what happens. I personally think Chip Ganassi in the U.S. is second only to Roger Penske in running a successful racing operation. I just have a feeling that Alex Palou has Monisha Kaltenbaum on his legal team. After Jacoby and Myers have rested their case on behalf of Chip Ganassi, and the aforementioned Miss Monisha has issued her expert opinion on behalf of Palou, I think a swift solution will come in the form of monetary settlement. I can see Chip Ganassi tweeting Zak Brown, $10 million and Palou is yours. American Express will do nicely. And I promise not to leave the track with Alex. Are you following this saga, sir?
Yes, I think it's hilarious, but you can't blame him. Ganassi is not going to give anybody an F1 opportunity, and F1 opportunities is what Palou is fantasizing about. It's normal. It's part of life. It's part of a young driver. This will go away. You're right. They will settle this probably, you know, maybe at a bocce ball court. You know, that's how things should be settled, but I don't know. What do I know?
Okay, sir, we will go back to Hungarian Grand Prix, maiden winners in Magyar Republic. 2003, Machismo on Michelin's expanding tires takes his first victory, and he lapped Michael Schumacher. I'm sure you remember that.
Expanding tires were one of my favorites. I have expanding tires on my Citroën for the winter.
Next was JB. It was a long time coming, but he finally made it in changing conditions at Hungaroring, and he was quite the master of changing condition, as Sebastian Vettel found out in Montreal one rainy day. Then we had Heikki Kovalainen. Kovi, welcome to the world of winning. The message that was sent to him by Ron Dennis, thanks to Felipe Massa having a Kablamo on his Ferrari. The Finnish one-hit wonder will never hear that words again from Dennis or any team owner in Formula One. Do you remember there was so much hype because he had done very well in Junior Formula that when he made his debut in Australia with Renault, it was such a pathetic performance. I'll never forget this. Flavio Briatore said, today we did not have Kovi in the car, it was his brother. But that's the way it goes. Last year we had Esteban Ocon taking his first win by keeping Sebastian Vettel at bay to grab a well-deserved maiden win for himself and for Alpine. So there you have it, sir. And, oh, by the way, I'm sure you know that Machismo celebrated his birthday on, I think it was on Friday. So nice place for him to celebrate his birthday. Now, do you remember some years ago when he was at Ferrari, a journalist asked him on his birthday what his wish was, and Nando responded, someone else's car? And that's when Luca came down from the second floor and took a knife, not to the cake, but to the courier of the birthday boy. Man, he's like Rodney Dangerfield. He's not getting much respect around the F1 paddock, but we do respect him immensely in the Polish studios. Okay, sir, Mr. Rogers, anything else before we bring in Musical Mondial?
Well, that's enough excitement for me. I have to admit, I was a bit shocked when I saw the news when I woke up flashing on my ticker tape machine. But yeah, unbelievable. We got more Fernando activity for the next 3 years, Ness. I mean, by then, LCH could retire, Max could retire. I'm telling you, it could be a whole new game, and maybe Piastri will be in the hunt with Alpine for the championship because Fernando left too early. Oh my goodness, there's going to be a lot of funny business, Gunther. Master?
Yes, I'm glad you mentioned Piastri. Oscar Piastri getting into Formula One is the best thing with Nando moving away from Alpine. He's a very good talent, but you know how Formula One is. The clock starts, timer starts all over again once you make your debut. In his case, he is from Melbourne, Australia, so it will be nice to see how he can do. You know, unfortunately, the Australian Grand Prix has not been very kind to Australian drivers. And if you talk about Ricciardo and Weber, but maybe he can change the trend. So we wish him all the best. Okay, sir, finally we come to Musical Mondial. We have some very nice music from Mr. Johannes Brahms, and this, he wrote a lot of Hungarian dances, small pieces which are very, very good. And this is my favorite, Hungarian Dance No. 1. Thank you for listening. Please enjoy.
Good night.